Michael Tellinger's got some incredible theories. We'll be back. We're going to talk about them when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Michael, you were beginning a story when we came to the top of the hour, if you want to start it up again.
Yeah, I was talking about an author by the name of Luis Miguel Falcao, who wrote an amazing book called A School Called Earth, which deals with the concept why souls choose Earth to come and have an earthly and an experience in a physical body to try and evolve to a higher spiritual level. And when he taps, when Luis taps into the spirit world, especially to the onto the first spiritual level, he describes it to me just like an ocean, never-ending ocean of lights. And when he asks these souls what they are doing, they tell him they are waiting for God. And as he appears to them, he appears as a light, but a different color light, because he's tapping in from a different dimension. And they start to navigate toward him, thinking that this is God. And he tells them, hold on, I'm not God. I'm just like you. I'm just tapping in to see what's happening, you know, on the spiritual level. And what happens then is when he tells them, he asks them, why are you here? And he tells them, you know, he's just like them. And then suddenly the consciousness kicks in, and he describes it like one by one, a couple of hundred of them kick out, and they go back to Earth, and they reincarnate. And I find this absolutely fascinating, because what this seems to do on a spiritual level is support the Mayan calendar of evolution, of consciousness. Because if you imagine that more and more people are evolving to a spiritual level where they can tap into the spirit world and to the various spiritual conscious levels, the more people tap into this first level and basically cause people to come back and reincarnate to a higher level, that would cause a reactionary and an exponential curve of evolution of consciousness, wouldn't
sure.
it? And so I find that fascinating. Without realizing, when he explained that to me, that those two ideologies linked up, and suddenly you had a guy that talks about wacky spiritual stuff that, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago I would have thought were a little way beyond me, suddenly makes sense in terms of the Mayan calendar's evolution of consciousness and what we're heading for in 2012, most likely. But you know, there's so much. You know, I would like to just come back to this whole thing of control, because just while you were taking a break, I just came across some more research that I've got. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but in Siberia there's a place called the Valley of Death. Have you come across this yet?
No, I have not.
It is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating tale that goes back definitely at least 800 years, and then possibly several thousand years of the decimation of humans around the world. And so it suddenly gives credence to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, and it basically describes very similar events over a period of the past 800 years, and then it also is linked to destruction of ancient civilizations and cities and ancient places like Mohenjo-Daro and the Indus Valley, and even in Scandinavia, complete decimation of cities around the world. And this article that I've got here just talks about this place, about 100,000 square kilometers, that is filled with underground metal caverns that nobody understands. Nobody knows what they're for, what they're from. They've tried to figure out what they're made of. They cannot figure out the kind of material that they're made of. But it is truly a fascinating story. And it's from that area that historical tales and writings that go back a long, long time describe the appearance of very bright, fiery balls that fly into the distance and result in giant explosions and the sky lighting up and destruction of towns and cities and so forth.
Michael, why does there seem to have been intervention, genetic or otherwise, hundreds of thousands of years ago, and now, if they're merely just sightings, so be it. But it seems like minimal intervention, unless the alien abduction phenomena is truly real, and that's an evolutionary process by itself. But just with impressions, it seems like there was massive intervention a long time ago, and now they've backed off. Why do I feel that? Why does it appear to be that way?
I think you put your finger right on the button. There certainly seemed to have been a lot more intervention a long time ago, and I think mainly it's because of the before technology. You know, now if something happened somewhere, we'd have, you know, BBC and CNN and everybody would descend on the, yeah, on the place. Whether they would cover it correctly or effectively or accurately is another question. And I trust you would be there and you would be interviewing people as well.
Yes, we would.
Yeah, exactly. But since the advent of technology and global communication, if there is continued intervention, the advanced beings are certainly more careful about how and where they intervene, so that they do not cause global hysteria. But at the same time, I'm of the opinion that the intervention is monitored and that the global powers are aware of this intervention and their contact, but that the information is being suppressed. Every time somebody sticks his head out and comes out with a new discovery, new energy source, or new this, or you sort of hear about them once on a major TV network, and then you never hear about them again. Now, whether they're crackpots and they're talking rubbish or not is never really known, because you never hear about the people again. But the intervention thing is interesting, because we start getting into the whole area of quantum physics and metaphysics and vibrational frequencies and what it is that we can actually see and cannot see. You know, and that is exactly where science again comes to the rescue and starts to make certain things clear to us. We now understand that matter is really a result of vibrational frequency. All matter on Earth and in the universe exists because of vibrational frequency, mm-hmm, solid matter. That vibrational frequency is driven by only one other thing, and that is energy. And which means that if we can tap into the energy and understand the energy that drives the vibrational frequency that gives shape to me, Michael Tellinger, and my body, and I can manipulate that energy, I can unplug that energy and dematerialize. Now, again, this is, you know, 2 years ago, Ira said, a little far-fetched for me, but, you know, the more you look into it, the more you look at the metaphysics and the quantum physics of this new knowledge, you realize that, my goodness, it's no longer far-fetched and science fiction to imagine people or matter just dematerializing and materializing.
And that could be what's happening. Because people,
exactly, you know, yeah,
people get that kind of visitation, sightings. They see a craft and then it disappears, you know. Absolutely. Almost like it's a hologram.
Yeah, I think that my current feelings are that because of what happened here on Earth, we certainly have a very interesting history as a planet, and what happened here to us as a species, and possibly to you know, other civilizations and human settlers on this planet before we came along as Homo sapiens. We certainly have a fascinating history on this planet, and I think much has happened that is now starting to come to the surface, and people are coming to terms with this. We're evolving spiritually far quicker than our makers. If the Anunnaki were indeed our creators and created us as a slave species to dig for gold in Africa and other parts of the world because they needed gold to save their own planet, my feeling is that they later discovered other aspects and properties of gold and the other metals that they were taking from Earth and started utilizing the higher properties of those particular metals. But that didn't take away the fact that we had their DNA in us, and that advanced DNA allowed us to evolve much quicker than they ever could have expected. Now, this caused an interesting situation in the universe. Now, imagine the universe being flooded with advanced beings that are existing on various ways, in fourth dimension, in fifth dimension, in three-dimensional form. And suddenly they see this planet that only 250,000 years ago had a bunch of newly created ape-like creatures yeah. called the Homo sapiens that had no consciousness, no knowledge, or no idea who they were and where they came from. Suddenly we're exploring space and we are sharing the same kind of knowledge and technology, or approaching that kind of knowledge and technology that they have and they've had for millions, if not billions of years. So in a short space of time, us humans have achieved such great heights in technology that really boggles the mind. And I believe that that's because of our advanced DNA that is seeded in our bodies. And that has created a huge attraction in the universe among advanced beings. And I think that, as some people have told me, again, those that tap into these areas and these realms and that can see frequencies that you and I cannot see, I've been told that the Earth is surrounded by a number of advanced beings that vibrate on a different frequency and we cannot see them. Now, again, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have told you, come on, go to hell, you're talking rubbish, you know, what kind of nonsense is that? But, you know, just like you cannot see ultraviolet light doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you cannot hear the high-pitched sound that the dogs hear and other animals hear doesn't mean that those high-pitched sounds do not exist. And we've got to stop being so arrogant and actually realize that we don't know everything, we don't have the answers for everything, and we've got to start embracing these newfound scientific breakthroughs that give us an insight into all of this. And this is what I find most fascinating.
Michael, why did they leave anyway? What really happened, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think they left. I think they're still here.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if you're familiar. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar. You probably are as well, with a documentary that's doing the rounds called Zeitgeist.
Yes.
Have you heard of yes. Zeitgeist?
Yes, we have. With its theories abound, of
Hello?
Course. I don't know. Can you hear me?
George?
Yep, I can hear you, Michael.
Are you
Mike,
there?
Michael, I can hear you well. Well, folks, we may have to call him back. We're going to redial him, and we'll get him hooked back in again. Just to give you a little synopsis of where we are, Michael's talking about his own theories of visitation. And, of course, it echoes the theories of Zachariah Sitchin, who, by the way, has written another new book. And we're probably going to get him back on again in a not-too-distant program, only for maybe an hour or so, because he is truly way up there in age. Theories, of course, that this planet was visited hundreds of thousands of years ago by extraterrestrials who came down, visited us, and the Sumerian tablets of 5,000 years ago point out that indeed that is what happens. What I find so fascinating with Michael or other people who have this kind of a theory is that they pick up little pieces of evidence from past civilizations on this planet that point out that there were indeed visitations. I don't know what happened thousands of years ago. I really don't, but it must have been a fascinating time for these people to witness these things, to witness events, to see things that come down from above, and it is something. Michael, by the way, is live in the United Kingdom area, so we'll hook back up with him in just a second, and we'll continue with this interview. And a little bit later on, next hour, we'll, of course, open up the phone lines for you to give you an opportunity to chat. And one of the things I want to talk with him about, which is fascinating to me, of course, are his rumors and theories that the Vatican is involved in some sort of conspiracy about contact with ETs. And I want to find out from him if he truly thinks that's a true story or not. And then he's got his own views on 2012 as well and what may very well happen on that situation. So we'll just continue to wait around and see if we have him. I don't want to go to the phones yet because I don't want to interrupt his flow of what he's got as soon as we got him in. You know, he may very well have a little phone problem there because I could hear him quite fine, couldn't you? And as he beamed away. In the meantime, let me tell you a little bit about what's in store for the rest of the week. Great programs. Rosemary Ellen Guiley on Tuesday. You know, she's a dear friend of ours, and first started interviewing her back 10 years ago on my local show in St. Louis about dreams. She wrote a book called The Encyclopedia of Dreams, and now she's done a number of research stories from all kinds of things, and this one is called The Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits, and we're going to talk about shadow people and other haunting phenomena. And she is just a great guest, so I'm looking forward to that on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, none other than Art Bell joins us. Art, of course, with his annual Ghost to Ghost program. I'm sure Art has been collecting some ghostly stories over the past couple months to get ready and prepare for this. And he will be on Wednesday, and then I'll be back with you on Thursday, and then we'll have our special open lines on Friday. I'll be doing Sunday's program. It'll be the first Sunday of the month. And that's another thing. I can't believe that November 1st is just a few days away. This year is gone, absolutely taking off. Time seems to go by quicker and quicker and quicker. So anyway, we've got Michael back on the line with us, and let us go back. Michael, as we were talking, I'm glad you've joined us here. I want to get into the Vatican if we can, but let's summarize what we've been talking about, and that is the belief that mankind was visited by extraterrestrials, either from another planetary system in this universe or some other place, for the purpose, of course, of enslaving us, using us to benefit themselves. You believe they're still visiting us. That's where we left off. When I asked you why they left, you said they haven't. Go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've left. And, you know, this brings me back to the whole Apollo mission and the, you know, the quotes by various astronauts from the Apollo mission that they were, you know, exposed to alien craft and aliens themselves on the moon and on the way to the moon, which brings me to an interesting event that, you know, if you're aware of this or not, 1969, NASA passed a federal law dealing with extraterrestrial exposure. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me.
Yeah, this is stuff I discovered just the other day. In 1969, NASA passed a federal regulation dealing with extraterrestrial exposure, which basically offers a legal precedent for the detention and indefinite imprisonment of any individual who comes into contact with extraterrestrials. Okay. Now, I mean, this is amazing. This is under Title 14 of the National Aeronautics and Space, Section 1211 point, blah, blah, blah. And it is just fascinating because, I mean, why would NASA go to such extent to pass such a law just at the time when they're going into space and they landed on the moon? Then you've got these astronauts coming out saying they saw alien craft, they were followed by alien craft, they saw aliens on the moon or extraterrestrials on the moon, they found a whole lot of debris left behind by other people before them, whoever landed there before them. Then suddenly you've got all the rolls of video film that go missing, 700 odd rolls of film that go missing because obviously they must have had incriminating evidence on them. Then, about 2 weeks ago, the biggest newspaper in Russia, Pravda, ran a four-page article. Now, to run a four-page article is quite something. And it talks about how the Americans were chased off the moon by aliens. I mean, it sounds bizarre, but if you start putting all these pieces of the puzzle together, why did the Apollo mission suddenly stop?
They stopped pretty abruptly. And believe it or not, Michael, we're still not back yet. We keep saying we're going to go back. I'm not sure we will, but let's talk about that Russian article and the Vatican and those rumors about being involved in some kind of ET conspiracy. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're going to open up the phone lines next hour, give you an opportunity to chat with Michael as well. And we'll be back with him. We'll get more into this Russian Pravda story in the Vatican and some other issues right here on Coast to Coast AM. Pravda, noted for some wild stories, but like you said, Michael, they devoted, what, 4 pages to this?
Yep. I'm just looking at it as we speak, and just reading it again just sent shivers up my spine, because it really, again, it's those little pieces of the puzzle that on their own don't really make much sense, but when you string them together, suddenly they tell you a story that is really quite hard to try and, contradict.
Let's review that.
Yeah, just, this story was published on the 3rd of October, so it's just a few weeks ago. And it was basically a story by a Russian ufologist, Vladimir Azhazha, and an astronomer, Yevgeny Arzuyukin. And they basically spoke about the expeditions to the moon between 69 and 72, that allegedly came across UFOs. And slowly but surely, their contact with these UFOs and these extraterrestrials that were actually on the moon led to the Americans withdrawing from going back to the moon. It sounds absolutely amazing, but it says here, the lunar creatures would not tolerate the presence of Earth dwellers for long. When Americans brought dummy cars to furrow moon craters, the creatures living on the satellite began to demonstrate the furious protest against the U.S. presence on the moon, and said the dwellers on the moon told Americans to go home as they wanted to keep secret the Sunblur base that they used to observe life on Earth. Now,
what a wild story, Michael.
It is a wild story. And when you read it like this, it sounds really wild. But when you put it into context of all the footage from the moon disappearing, the nice thing about this is that the trips to the moon by the astronauts and by NASA were the conversation between the astronauts were not just recorded and heard by mission control. It was also recorded by a large number of radio hams around the world.
That's
that actually
true.
Tapped into the broadcast frequency, and many of these transcriptions are now coming out. And this is what is really fascinating. And they're not just coming out of one source, they're coming out of various sources. And when you read these transcriptions and the discussions between Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and what they say, and, there's things like, those are giant things. No, this is not an optical illusion. No, this one's going to, no one's going to believe us. And what the hell is happening? They're here under the surface. You've got to read these transcriptions. It's amazing. And then mission control interrupts and says, repeat, what are you saying? It's very interesting stuff to read. And as I said, it's pieces of the puzzle on their own that don't make much sense, but when you put them together, they certainly tell a compelling story.
Michael, let's talk about the Vatican because of these rumors about contact with ETs. What have you uncovered here?
Well, you possibly might have heard about this already, but there's an Italian journalist by the name of Luca Scantamburlo who has had written quite extensively about interviews conducted between Cristoforo Barbato and an unnamed Vatican Jesuit priest. And this Jesuit priest confirmed and disclosed inside information about a clandestine meeting in 1954 at California's Muroc Air Force Base, later named the Edwards Air Force Base, which involved President Dwight Eisenhower and the Los Angeles Bishop James Francis McIntyre and an extraterrestrial delegation. As a result of this, a group of these Vatican priests established and still maintain to this day a secret organization called the SIV that studies and catalogs information relating to ET contact. And, we know that the Catholic and the Vatican has a huge amount of artifacts and historical evidence lying in its vaults that it will not release. For very simple reasons, that it will actually incriminate them in a whole lot of these things and put them on the spot.
Well, I don't know. We do know that they own a observatory, and that's strange all by itself, Michael. Why would they be so interested in space? Maybe they're looking for wormwood, if you believe in the Book of Revelation, huh?
Yeah. It all leads to is where we are right now, and I think more and more people are talking about the coming of the new age and the Mayan calendar, and so much has been written about the Mayan calendar and what does it mean and so forth. And I've been doing my own research and studying about the Mayan calendar and finding out what it is that it's all about, and finding interesting parallel lines that points towards this so-called speeding up of evolution and consciousness of the human race. And I think if you look at the way that technology is speeding up around us, although I believe it's not speeding up at the rate that it should be, is a very good indicator of the speeding up of our consciousness. Because, you know, how do you measure consciousness? But, you know, we are conscious of change. We're conscious of the fact that we are conscious. And we see how technology is speeding up around us. Every month a new technology is released that makes the old one obsolete, and so it goes. The latest writings by a gentleman called Carl Johan Kellerman, who you probably have heard of, who's written The Mayan Calendar and The Transformation, they have now come up with a new date for the beginning of the ending and the beginning of the new age, according to the Mayan calendar, which is the 28th of October 2011, and not the 21st of December 2012. Whether that, you know, how accurate that is, still remains to be seen, but nevertheless, it certainly paints his research paints a very interesting picture of how the speeding up of consciousness and these so-called days of consciousness are taking control of our species on Earth.
You know, Michael, you talked at the beginning that a number of different planetary beings may have visited this planet. How do they all key in on us? Or do you think they're doing this all throughout the universe?
I believe it's something that's happening throughout the universe. I mean, if you really open your mind and look at the number of planets. We mentioned this earlier. Since I last looked 2 days ago, there were 251 planets discovered by us in the last 20 years. But by far the largest majority of them have been discovered in the last year. Okay, so that's speeding up as well. We're discovering planets almost on a daily basis. I believe that advanced beings throughout the universe are traveling and exploring the universe like we would like to, if we had the knowledge and the know-how to travel throughout space. We would be exploring the universe ourselves and arriving at other planets, and we will get there. And I think that is why we are such an attraction and a curiosity for the advanced beings of the universe. They're coming to Earth to look at this new species that is merely a few hundred thousand years old and that is already exploring space, which is phenomenal. I mean, you know, it's really phenomenal. We're not millions or billions of years old. We're a couple of hundred thousand years old, and we're exploring space. Now, why we are being oppressed, why our knowledge and our progress is being suppressed, it baffles me. I'm not sure whether we're still being exploited. We're certainly still being enslaved. As we mentioned earlier, the whole concept of money is really enslaving us more now than ever before. And I have a feeling that 2012 or the new age is going to bring with it a whole new way of life and a new world order, if I can call it that, that will break away from a monetary system and start working more on what I like to call the contributionist system. And it's got nothing to do with communism, please don't get me wrong. but a system where people survive and develop on this planet by contributing rather than trying to gain monetary wealth, which is really not going to get you anywhere.
Do you believe that the power brokers on this planet might conceive, because this is what we've heard, might conceive of an alien invasion in order to justify further control over us?
I think that might have worked in the 40s and the 50s when you know, humanity was really gripped by fear, by an alien invasion, because, you know, stories like War of the Worlds and so forth.
But yeah.
I think those days are gone. I mean, the number of people that tap into higher spiritual levels, the number of people that actually have contact with extraterrestrials, that can see other dimensions, it's just so vast that that fear kind of tactic, I don't think, is going to work anymore.
Michael, I think most people would go to the aliens and say, get rid of these politicians for us. Help us.
I would probably be one of them, yeah. I mean, because they're certainly not doing us servants, the human servants, much good. You know, it's just constant bickering and fighting and arguing, and where is it getting us to? You know, I've had a few interesting discussions with. I'm researching a new book that I want to write, which is really based on what I mentioned earlier. This concept called contributionism. How will we survive as a species in a post-capitalistic society? And let me tell you, that frightens the living daylights out of most people that are sort of this staunch capitalists and are proud of what they've achieved and what they've accumulated. And people get quite aggressive when you suggest to them that you want to take away everything they've got and replace it with whatever they want. But it's amazing how when you start discussing a whole new world structure that does not work on money or value, how it affects us, because we are so entrenched in this thinking about money, and everything revolves around value and money and what's it going to be worth and what can I trade this for, and that it's very difficult to perceive a world that works completely differently.
Well,
what I
no
find fascinating is in all of the Sumerian tablets, I mean, we're referring to the Sumerian tablets here because it is the oldest body of knowledge that we have on Earth at this stage, until we start deciphering something else. But in all of the Sumerian tablets, I cannot ever recall the Anunnaki or the settlers here that created this new species ever talking about money. They never spoke about money or buying things or trading things. It was a concept that was introduced by them to the human race as a tool of enslavement at a point in time where they felt they might be losing control of this new species. And from there, we know what happened. I mean, look what's happening.
But they did fight amongst each other, didn't they?
Well, that's what I thought as well in the beginning, but I'm not so sure that they fought amongst each other. I believe they actually fought against other arrivals.
Other arrivals.
That
yeah.
arrived on Earth. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, the Rig Vedas, and there's over 1,000, I think it's 1,028 of the Rig Vedas that actually are filled with these tales of conflict. And it certainly doesn't sound like they were conflict between the same group of advanced beings or settlers on this planet. It certainly sounds like there were conflict between different groups of settlers on this planet that had different agendas.
If that's the case, Michael, you might be right. It tells you then that this universe is not benevolent. It tells you that this universe is full of war and hate and fighting, and that whatever happened to us as species has happened to all of them.
It's quite possible, and this is what's quite puzzling for me, and something that I'm trying to deal with in my research, is why is it that what happened on this planet, is it possible that this has been happening all over the universe as species, you know, evolve and reach levels of sophistication that they can travel throughout the universe and settle on other planets and occupy and develop other planets and seed other planets with life? It's quite possible. But on the other hand, I would say that if you line this up with our spiritual evolution and our evolution back to source, and it is a phase that we would go through, I suppose. It's a phase that we would go through at a specific point of our physical evolution. And And this brings me back to the state of confusion I was in for a while when I was struggling with the concept of evolution. What is evolution all about? Why do things evolve? What is it about evolution? Why does this happen in a physical form? And then I realized that if you listen to people that talk about spiritual evolution, suddenly you get a hint as to what physical evolution is all about. Now, let's first deal with the spiritual evolution, because it's something that's close to my heart, and it's newfound research that I've done. Is obviously we now hear more and more from spiritual people and spiritual healers how souls evolve to higher levels and higher levels of spiritual consciousness so that they can get back to source, or back to the Creator, being one with the Creator, or the Creator of the universal spirit. And it seems like the same happens on a physical form, where creatures are created from single-celled organisms, and as they grow, we spoke earlier about how their DNA becomes more complex and they use more of their genes and so forth. Up to a point, and this is a critical point, and I believe this holds true for all physical life forms and three-dimensional life forms in the universe. When they reach a certain stage of evolution in a physical form, their DNA starts to open up and unlock genes that previously were not unlocked, which suddenly allows that particular species to formulate higher thoughts and tap into a level of consciousness which makes it consider its own being and its own existence, and in the big scheme of things. And suddenly from there you open up the floodgates, and it becomes an exponential growth that starts to cross from a physical existence of an animal-like creature, and it starts to reach a spiritual conscious level, where suddenly your DNA starts to allow you, and your genes start to allow you to formulate higher thoughts that allow you to become an enlightened, spiritually conscious being. And I find that fascinating, and to me that makes absolute sense, and it tells a beautiful tale of how species and creatures throughout the universe can evolve from single-celled organisms to you and I having this debate on the telephone 10,000 miles away from each other.
What do you think, Michael? What do you think could happen on this planet over the next 10 years?
It's clear to me that people like you and stations like you and more people are having the same kind of debates around the world. They are evaluating their own existence. They're no longer happy with their lot. They realize that money doesn't buy them happiness. They realize they can't take it with them. They realize they must be more. And they are turning, more and more people around the world are turning towards spiritual answers from this physical existence of ours, trapped and enslaved by money, by governments we don't really like, by leaders and bosses and corporations that control the world. And it's fascinating that we're even having this debate, because I believe that just because you're not in touch with all the people in the world doesn't mean they're not having this discussion. More and more people are having these debates. They're talking about what's going to happen in the next, 5 to 10 years. There certainly is. I can see it from the number of emails I get from all over the world, people sharing these kind of views and their opinions, and they tell me that even a year ago they wouldn't have even contemplated this, but now they're no longer afraid, and they are seeking for higher knowledge and things like that. There seems to be definitely a move according to the mind calendar, the 9 levels of the evolution of consciousness, according to the mind calendar, and we are approaching a level where there will be a tipping point or a critical mass where this consciousness of humans on Earth will allow a new age to dawn.
Well, let's find out more about that when we come back, Michael, and we'll take phone calls.